This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, it is the Chief Act Nation here live on Radio Row. There goes Ali Raisman, the great gymnast, exiting Radio Row.
Ooh. All right, Ali!
Social media superstar, all kinds of greatness.
Yes, yeah. Lucius, yes.
Yeah, got it going on, that's for sure. She's got that very athletic walk, you know? I think that was the thing that stuck out to me.
I was just respecting her abilities and what she's done for our country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like she helped put that guy in prison for a long time.
Yeah, that too.
That
yeah.
was a hell of a service to our country.
No doubt. Will he play is the topic, you know, with Porzingis. It's been almost 12 months since he tore his ACL. The ACL is an injury that some athletes have come back from in significantly less time. Around 9 to 12 months, I think, is, you know, generally what you're looking at. So we can talk about that here for just a second while we wait for Michael Irvin, the playmaker, set to join us here on your home of the Cowboys.
Can I start with this?
No.
I know it's always – well, I like to ask – you know, when it's basketball, I like to look at Mike and be like, do you mind if I take about 30 seconds here and tee it up to you? So people who are 7'3", when they get hurt, I basically get worried about almost everything. But the other side of that coin is he's, what, 23 years old?
Yes.
He's 23 years old and he tore an ACL. In the grand scheme of things, that's a nothing in sports.
Yeah.
It's not going to end a career. It's not going to negatively affect a career. If it was a back.
Gavin, you know this. The big guys that have foot injuries
feet
is a major
backs.
Deal.
Feet and backs.
Like, oh, man, those feet just never seem to get better.
So the long time, you kind of look at it and go, what are we doing? What's going on here? But no part of that is like, oh, my God, alarm bell. It's a torn ACL for a 23-year-old.
No, you know, I would like to dive deeper into what his teenage years were like. You know, one of the things with Greg Oden that the Blazers really ignored was the fact that ever since 13 years old, he had not played in a complete season. You know,
and that his face looked like he was 47 when he was 20.
Yeah, that might have been something to pay attention to as well. Porzingis kind of has a baby face.
He does.
And it appears that he's made it deep into his career. That was towards the end of his third year, right?
Right, yes.
So he had played quite a while without having this propensity to always have catastrophic injuries. So I don't think he's going to be bad as Greg Oden, but I would bring up Sabonis, who was the last guy to be 7'3" and be a European star. And it was always an ankle, a back, you know, a knee. And it's pretty common. You know, Dirk got to exist in a separate stratosphere. He had some special sort of circumstances that allowed him to not be hurt. You know, but the norm is more like Hakeem Olajuwon, where at least for one period in your career, it's like something's really dragging you down and it's a major pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And it's unclear how it's going to go. You know, that's normal life for big
men. This, I would love to see him come back and play 15 games this year, maybe even 20. I don't know exactly how many games the Mavericks have left, but I would love to see after the All-Star break, Porzingis and Luka on the court at the same time for about 10 to 15 games just to get you way more excited about next year. I'm excited, but if Porzingis doesn't play this whole season, it'll fade a little bit. You'll get excited about next year, don't get me wrong, but if you get to see him on the court and then there's some success together, that's when we'll really get pumped up. And I think for Mark Cuban, because I know they have sellout streak, it's all fake. They're not selling out the games. They will really sell out the AAC like they were really doing in Dirk's prime.
Yeah.
If Porzingis comes back and Porzingis and Lucas show signs of we are going to be a playoff team and we're going to be here for a while.
We're back in the game.
Yeah.
You know? And absolutely, they need to do whatever they can to get Porzingis on the floor. I mean, if he doesn't play by the end of the season, that's a red flag on his injury.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless the Mavericks tell us, which then I think you get in trouble with the NBA – hey, he's completely healthy, but we're sitting him out to just see if we can get our pick back this year.
That's incredibly exciting, you know, but maybe you wait till the last five games then, you know, and make a call. But no, at the same time, no, you're not waiting 14 months to bring a guy back from an ACL. That would be either obvious tanking or a red flag. You got to get the guy on the court.
I'll tell you, it's obvious tanking. I'm all the way in.
I'll tell you this, too. I was watching the Golden State game last night. And maybe it's just the trainers that we have now, the guys that, okay, we have the surgery. The surgeries are getting a little bit better and cleaner. And then the people rehabbing the guys are so much better. Gosh almighty, I watched DeMarcus Cousins, and he looks almost like DeMarcus Cousins.
And he was Achilles, right?
Yeah, he was Achilles. Dang. He looks like the all-star at the Sacramento Kings. Now, he's the fourth or fifth best player on that court because they're so freaking good. But, I mean, he's taking Joel Embiid off the dribble, reverse layup on him. He's beating Embiid down the court, catching the ball on the run, taking a dribble and dunking. And I'm like, that dude is only like 10 games back from Achilles.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking, if Porzingis can come back, and look, the first three or four games of Cousins, I know it's a different injury, they played him 12 to 20 minutes. Now he's playing 24 to 28 minutes. If we can just get to that point at the end of the year that Porzingis is able to play half the game,
yeah,
healthy and looking really good in those 24 minutes,
yeah,
I think that's where you want to be. I want to see a little bit of chemistry.
You want to see chemistry. You want the fans to get a look at it. But look, more than that, you want them and Rick to have a set of video and a set of numbers to look at, and you want your front office to look at and say, okay, what would go best with this, right?
Yes, yes.
It's now we're starting the process of building around them. You don't want to have to take an entire offseason not knowing exactly what it looks like.
I'll say we pretty much know what they need. They need three guys that can shoot threes and really defend.
Yeah.
With those guys. Even though Porzingis was averaging almost 2.5 blocks before he got hurt. So, I mean, he does protect the rim if he's around the rim, but he's not like a guy who can guard a guy one-on-one, and you're like, well, that guy's going to have trouble. You know?
So, I mean, you have Dodo, Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yes,
you have Harrison Barnes.
You know who else you have? It's Tim Hardaway Jr. He, in New York, he had no point guard. He had Emmanuel Mudiay and Trey Burke. And I know we got Trey Burke in the trade. Nothing against Trey Burke, but that's who was setting up his shot. He had nobody to set up his shot. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. can be a valuable piece of this trade. Not Porzingis, but you're talking about really solid, good role players. I do think Tim Hardaway Jr. can be that. He is overpaid. There's nothing we can do about that. But I think he's a good NBA role player. And now that Luka gives him his looks, I think he's going to be better here than he was in New York.
I mean, that's a really solid guy that you can have on your team. I think they would like to flip him, though, because the main objective has to become, how do we get into a position to sign a third superstar?
Yeah. You have no assets left.
Yeah.
The next draft pick you can trade is 2024 or 2025.
Well, maybe Hardaway plays well enough that a team with cap space gets to a point where they're like, hey, you know, you've rehabilitated his value a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe not now, but maybe by this time next year or something.
Well, that's another thing, too, is if Porzingis is going to just go to the qualifying offer, that helps out the Mavs in free agency. I know that we kind of don't want that because you want him locking in and you're like, okay, we got him long term. But if he does do this, if he's like, hey, qualifying offer type of deal, he's only going to make $7.5 million next year, which does open up money for you to spend in the offseason. If he does sign a five-year, $30 million a year contract, that takes up your cap space, and now you're looking at a mid-level exception type of guy.
Do you think they could get in the big free agent game immediately?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Now, they can.
Well,
If Harrison Barnes says, I'm opting out of my contract, then yes, they can.
Playmakers in the building.
All right. Joining us now right here live from Radio Row. We've been here all week long. Coverage brought to you by Twin Peaks and Bud Light. It is the great Michael Irvin here with us. Brought to you by Alkaline 88. Is that right? Good fit there.
That's perfect fit.
Yeah.
It's not a good fit. That's a perfect fit when you're talking about. How can Michael get caught in with Alkaline 88? Now, guys, and first of all, let me tell you how I first got started with this. You know, I went through this year with some real issues with my throat. And I went to the doctor. I had to go to the doctor. And the doctor stuck that thing down your nose. It goes all the way down your throat.
Oh, that's so
uncomfortable. Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Just side note, I told Doc, I said, Doc, I hadn't had anything stuck in my nose in 25 years now.
Ah.
But so you know what I'm saying? Just whatever. But do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he put it down there. And he went and looked. And it was the acid in my stomach.
Really?
Coming up, burning the bottom of my throat. And, I mean, I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to lose two careers to injury because of the acid in my stomach. And then
God
sent Alkaline 88.
Shoot, yeah.
It's pH-balanced water. pH-balanced water. Most waters are pH-balanced at about 6 or 7, but this is 8.8, 88. It was a perfect godsend for me, and it helps balance the body and balance that acid. So now I'm back. I'm feeling good. I never had these problems at 25, but now at 25 backwards, I'm having these issues. So I'm telling everybody at 25, start drinking Alkaline 88 now, so when you get 25 backwards, you won't have the problems that I had.
Michael, are you and Steve Smith playing, or are you guys for real when it comes to y'all's discussions when it gets
heated? No, it's all real. Steve, Steve, most like most young guys now, in the social media world, I love Steve. I love him, and I want to help him in this business with whatever information that I know or have. But he's a competitor. And they love believing that catching passes is what it's all about. So Steve would throw out, man, I caught these many more passes than you. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. You played longer than I did. But I have to remind people. I get it all the time. Guys like Randy Moss, T.O., they always want to bring up how many catches people have. And they always say, well, I know he didn't win a ring. I say, you're right. He did not. And I am an S brother. He did not win a ring, and I am an S brother. What do you mean you're an S brother? I won rings, brother, and I won them on levels, brother. You understand what I mean? I didn't just win a ring. I won rings, and I won them on every level that I play on levels. So you can tell me you have more receptions, but it's really the receptions that led to championships. I beat gold jacket dudes to get gold rings. Did you do that? Then be quiet and step out of the way.
But why does he want to fight you? It seems like twice a week Steve Smith wants to fight you.
And I ain't fighting nobody. My fighting days are over. Those days are over. He's a competitor, and he's not the tallest competitor.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And so he has some issues, I guess, with tall people. I don't know, but hopefully those fighting days are over for him too.
What are your thoughts of Kellen Moore and the Cowboys offense going forward?
I find this to be an interesting dichotomy here. Jerry and those guys, they strapped Coach Garrett this past year, when they took away Dez Bryant and then put on somebody that could possibly equal what the talent that Dez Bryant had. And early on that season was a tough season. Coach Gary got it back on board and got us in the playoffs. The last two of the last 3 years, he's won the division and got him in the playoffs, and you're not going to extend him. And then you give him a rookie play caller in the offensive coordinator position. I don't know. I heard they said Kellen Moore's a smart guy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does and what he designs and all of that. But smart, it takes more than just XO smart to be a great offensive coordinator. You got to be people smart. You got to know how to bring the best out of people, how to design plays to bring the best out of people, take talent and mash it into a system. And you're telling Coach Garrett, I'm not going to extend you, and I'm giving you this situation. If I'm Coach Garrett, I'll be working so closely with Kellen Moore that I may even be calling call my own plays because my tushy's on the line right here. So hopefully it'll work out for him. I thought they were too close to be making this kind of a decision, that they should go out and get a veteran play caller because you're that close. I don't want you to change the system. I don't want you to change the offensive system. But I thought they were too close to do it. They're going in this direction, so hopefully it works.
It seems like even though they won the division and won a playoff game, that maybe we're closer to the end of the Garrett era than we could possibly imagine after a successful season like this.
And that's the business we are in. This is a tough business, man. It's not about winning games. It's about winning championships. And that's just the bottom line. That's why I always tell people, number one, when you talk about pressure in this world from jobs perspective, that's the POTUS. You get that POTUS. But from 2 to 33, it is NFL head coaches, buddy. You can win games and you still be uprooted with your family and get out. And but on the flip side, though, Coach Garrett can make a run this year. You have all the tools. He has all the tools already in his toolbox. If he can motivate, inspire, and bring this team together with connectivity and go and win a Super Bowl, and he doesn't have a contract. And, this league's about hot things and everything. Maybe he becomes the hot commodity, and he can be looking at him a John Gruden kind of contract somewhere. I don't know. It can work both ways.
Who's the guy you would want to see him add to the team? You an Earl Thomas guy?
I would love Earl Thomas added to this team. I don't know why they didn't make the deal when they had the deal for that second-round pick. I know later on they came back and offered the second-round pick. But I'm a true believer And if you got talent, you know. Don't hold on to talent you don't know or you hope to know or you think you will know one day. You know, and I would have given up that second-round pick just like I was happy to give up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. You think you can go find Amari Cooper in this draft? No, you're not going to find Amari Cooper. And that was a great trade, and I absolutely would have given up that for Earl Thomas. And hopefully that's still a possibility.
So, Michael, you've been on our show for years, and you've talked about Jason Garrett's offense, and I know we just talked about Kellen Moore's a man-beat-man offense.
Right.
And there's a lot of analytics coming out that Ezekiel Elliott 40% of the time runs in a loaded box, where Todd Gurley runs into a loaded box 6% of the time
right.
in the 2018
because
season.
Because they go out of 11 personnel.
So where do you think the Cowboys or the NFL is going with – to maybe make it easier on Ezekiel Elliott to even be better than he is.
No doubt. And that's exactly where we're going with it. How many fourth and ones? There's no way we should have missed. The red zone issues that the Dallas Cowboys had, there's no way they should have had those red zone issues. If you can run the football, that's usually the first thing to make sure that you're having a good red zone. That's not the case for the Dallas Cowboys because everybody knew that all you have was a turn and hand that ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and they piled into the box. So, yes, well, that's what Kellen Moore has to come up with. More simple ways to get 1 yard, to get 2 yards. All the big stuff up the field will come. And you see guys with it. You know, they run rub routes, put people in motion. It runs simple rub routes. And sometimes on this 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, let's just dump that ball off and get easy plays. That's exactly the issue that they have to discover.
How about Michael Gallup? How much better can he be in year two?
Did he come on great?
Yeah, he sure did.
In the end, man.
Yes, sir.
And all the receivers started playing well. You know, by my eyes, maybe not Cole Beasley eyes, but by what I saw after you got that number one receiver, because everything fell into place. I stopped asking the 3 to be the 2. I stopped asking the 2 to be the 1. Everybody can slide where they belong and play football. And Michael Gallup came on so well in the end, man. I'm looking forward to see how much better he is in year 2.
What would have happened if on the mid-90s Cowboys they had said, Mike, it's 4th and 1, so we're going to take you off. We got to bring all these tight ends in, and we're going to run the ball every time.
And we did. We did do some of that.
Take you off the field.
Yeah, we did do some of that on 4th and 1, on 3rd, 4th and 1. We went big. You know, we went big. And it worked. It worked. Now, so I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Now, this is your guys' fault. It worked then, so Jason wants to do it now.
And that's the issue right there. That's the issue now where maybe – It may have worked if you still had Travis Frederick there and everybody intact at their best. It may still be working. But to that, what you just said, because that's a great question you asked me, what would be my thought? Now, let's go to Antonio Brown. Everybody's all killing Antonio Brown, and it's inexcusable for him to miss that Saturday meeting before the game. But I would have had a problem if Troy Aikman went on the radio and said, with the game on the line, I should have thrown all 4 passes to Juju Smith-Schuster. Or I should have thrown all 4 passes to Alvin Harper immediately before he got the Harper out of his mouth. Michael's calling me right now. Michael's calling me right now. Like, what the hell are you doing? No, what are you saying? That I would have had a problem with. You know what I'm saying? So when I see what Antonio Brown's going through and the problem he has with Big Ben, I'm like, yeah, Big Ben knows he should be saying stuff like that. That's a dig at AB.
Yeah.
You cannot say that when you're the number one receiver. You're not okay with that.
Well, Michael, I'm going to give you props. You called his name on draft day, and we were concerned about Jalen Smith and if he was ever going to be close to what he was at Notre Dame, but it's starting to happen.
I told you guys that.
Sure did.
I told you. Yep. And I had the card. I still have that card. Remember I told you I kept his card,
uh-huh.
And I'm going to have him sign that card the day he walks in to that Nisky luncheon when he gets in the Hall of Fame. And, dude, has he not turned that thing up? Man, I watched that Saints game. I mean, watch his ability to track from sideline to sideline. And when he hit Alvin Kamara that time, I knew. I said, Kamara don't want to play anymore. This game over. We got it. I mean, he's phenomenal, man. Him and that young kid we got, Leighton Van Der Esch right now, that's what I'm saying. Dallas got all the tools they need to be in this football game, and they could be in this football game next year. next year they have everything they need.
You enjoying your time in Atlanta?
Yeah, I always enjoy my time in Atlanta. Sometimes too much. The last Super Bowl we were here, we enjoyed our time too much. I remember walking off the field and Eric Williams looked at me. We were down to Buffalo. He said, "Hey, man, you think we enjoyed this too much?" I said, "Oh, hell yeah." I said, "Come on, we got to get back on track." And so Jimmy came back out and we must have run the ball 10, 12 straight times to get us back on track, get our heads back into the game. And we ended up winning that game. But, yeah, you love this city. It's a great city to host the Super Bowl.
Last one, L.A., New Orleans, or New England in this one?
Yeah, I'm taking New England in this game right now. I'm leaning towards New England. But L.A. has all the tools they need to win this game in the end. They can pressure up middle. They can press the receivers. But having the tools and operating are two different things.
Thanks for the water, the Alkaline 88. It's crisp and cold and delicious, hydrating.
It's the best water in the world, man. I'm telling you, the best
water
in the world.
It's tough your throat went bad because you don't yell too much.
Yeah, I know. and now it's good as long as I got this right here, keeping that acid down in my body so I don't lose my throat. Because that's what this water does. You want to keep the acid down in your body. But yeah, it keeps my throat right now.
Could you speak after the Seattle game, after the win in the playoffs?
I could. I couldn't speak after that Seattle game, after the Saints game. And it took me a month and a half to get my voice back because I thought it was about me yelling and not the acid in my stomach. And that's how I find Alkaline 88. Once I found this, the acid in my stomach started subsiding, and now I don't have that problem. I don't have that swollen throat. It's come from the acid.
How much does that acid get bubbling because Darren Woodson's not a Hall of Famer? Sorry, we're done.
I'm working on that.
You're working on it?
I'm working on it. Darren Woodson should be in the Hall. You're absolutely right about that.
There he is, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you guys.
Go Cowboys.
Thank you guys.
There he goes. 88 with us right here with Alkaline 88.